It's good to see everybody. What a great God we serve. Amen. He's so good to us. Thank Him for this opportunity He has given us to come here tonight and take part in His Word and give Him the glory and honor He deserves. Amen. He's so good. Well, we are continuing in our understanding the words of Jesus. We got difficulties with our projector up there, so there won't be no slides, which worked out good because I couldn't get my iPad to download. So I'm going to go ahead and go off of my laptop. But we're going to continue in our words of Jesus, and we're on our Beatitudes. And understanding the words of Jesus, He said, "These words that I speak, you know, they're spirit and they are life." And how important is that, that we got to grab hold to that, especially going through these Beatitudes. We went through poor in spirit, and we've seen mourn over our sins, and now we swung to meekness, and we're grabbing hold of meekness. And Pastor started on meekness Sunday, and he started with this slide right here. It says, meekness towards Elohim, which implies two things, submission to His will, and flexibleness to His word. And he went through the submission of His will, and he left off right with that Acts 10 on that flexibleness to His word. And submission to God's will is when we react calmly, without swelling or murmuring, under the adverse dispensations of providence. And number two was flexibleness to God's word, when we are willing to let the word bear sway in our life and become pliable to all its laws and commands. When we let it just do what it wants to do in our life, leave the word do what it wants. Instead of we always want to try to make the word fit, let it do what it do. It's going to fit. He is spiritually meek who conforms himself to the mind of Elohim and does not quarrel with the instructions of the word, but with the corruptions of his heart. And we arrive at meekness through the momentum of repentance. When I see my own sins, I will be kinder and gentler toward the sins of others. You know, sometimes we forget where He took us from. And when, you know, we want to be harsh towards other people and, you know, we want to jump on them real quick and in a hurry when they make a mistake or when they fall. But we got to remember, when you see your own sins, you will be kinder and gentler towards the sins of others. In James 1:19, it says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath." In verse 20, "For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of Elohim." For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of Elohim. Verse 21, "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls." But in verse 22, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." 23, "For if any man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass." If he's a hearer only, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face into a glass. For verse 24, "For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." Remember, when you recognize your own sin, you forget what manner of man you were. Verse 25, "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continue it therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Matthew Henry wrote a discourse. This pastor mentioned this book on meekness and quietness of spirit, in which he points out in Latin a meek man called mansuetus. There are two words here, manu, which means hand, and esuetus, which means used to. Meekness means being used to the hand, which Henry says alludes to the taming of creatures wild by nature. You know, he's talking about that wild horse. You got a wild horse and they're not used to that bridle, and they kick and they fight and their energy is just all over the place. But mansuetus is getting used to that hand. When it gets used to that hand, it brings a calmness about that horse. Man's corrupt nature has made him like a wild donkey, but the grace of meekness, when that gets dominion in the soul, it alters the temper. It brings the soul to hand and submits the soul to management. Meekness is the mean by which Elohim is going to tame this distemper that is in the soul, bring it to hand, subdue it wildness, and place this troubled heart into proper management. That's what meekness means. It means he's going to take all this turmoil that's built up inside, and he's going to bring it to manage. He's going to place that hand. You're going to get used to that hand, getting used of his hand, and subdue it. And he's going to place this troubled heart into proper management. Have you ever heard of meekness or the word meek in general? Most of us think right away that the word meek means weak. It is actually opposite. It is the opposite, actually. You know, when you think about that, when somebody says meek, you do think weak. But let's just, two stories in the Bible, let's take Moses for one. It says he was a meek man. He was meek. And I don't think he was weak. When you got to lead a whole nation that was in bondage for 400 years, that's not a meek person. Let's take it a step above that. Yeshua, look what he bore. The sin, I mean, the stripes and being nailed to a cross. That don't sound like no meek man to me. That's not a meek person, but he was humble. Not a weak. That is a meek person. He was meek. Let me rephrase that, because sometimes my words get all mixed up. But I do have good listeners, because they always tell me, brother, what that? You said that. I'm like, oh, yeah, but that's not what I meant, my brother. That's not what I meant. So I got to take my time and read slowly. And you know, correct myself before I have to correct it a week or so later. But that's okay if I have to do that. That's okay. You know, God is good. So meekness is about the taming of the temper. It's about the subduing of self. It's about the calming of passion, managing of the impulses of your heart and of your life, bringing order out of the chaos that exists in a human soul. That's what meekness is taking that wildness that you're so quick to want to jump out at somebody. Like if you're driving, you know, meekness is going to calm that. It's going to help you be a safe driver also. You know, you won't be so quick to lash out at somebody. To meek a horse means that the horse has been tamed, but his spirit has not been broken. The horse still has its power, but it now follows commands and obeys its master. Likewise, a meek person is one that is humble, yet still retains his power, but chooses not to fall out the instruction of his master. And there was one little clip and I was watching, and it was talking about the wild horse, and some woman said, came up to him after he was preaching. He said, you know, she was very competitive in sports and everything. She said, but that wild horse, it made sense to me, because after he got use of his bridle, That's what makes it wins the race. Because a wild horse, if he's all over the place. And it's not that he doesn't have the strength to do it. He has the strength. It's not that he's not using, he's losing strength. It's just that he's wild. He's uncontrollable. But when you get used to that hand and get used to that bridle, that's what makes him wins the race. Meekness calms the temper, subdues the soul. It brings out the chaos. It brings order out the chaos and turmoil that otherwise going to tear us apart throughout the course of the day. And it is going to spill out in destructive ways to the lives of other people who are around us. It could be on the job. It could be in the church. It could be in your family. If it brings that order, because it just, if it's not, you got all that coming out, and it's like a bad apple. A bad apple spoils the whole bunch. The true definition of the word meek is strength yielded. To a Christian, this would further mean strength yielded to the service of Yahweh. Meekness is humble, gentle, patient, forgiving, and content. How you don't want that? You want to get all of that. As much as this as you can, you want to get this. This is so powerful. It's humble, gentle, patient, forgiving, and contented. And what that means is that meekness delivers us from pride, harshness, anger, vengeance, and ambition. Yeshua is calling us to something very wonderful here. To grow in meekness, number one, to grow in meekness, and you will gain control over anger. Meekness will moderate your passions. It will subdue your impulsiveness. Meekness will change the way you speak. It will give you control over the harsh word and the sharp you put down. Number three, grow in meekness and you will discover contentment. You will be reconciled to the position you are in. Meekness will help you to accept the difficulties that you face and even to see the hand of Elohim in them. It will help you to accept the difficulties you face and even to see the hand of Elohim in them. It might be, you know, you might not want to be in situations that you're put in sometimes, but meekness will help you to accept those difficulties that you're faced with, and then you can see the hand of Elohim in it. Number four, grow in meekness and you will enjoy peace. Meekness is being used to the hand. Another way to say this is meekness is about submission. Submission means you put your mission under sub, the mission of someone else, and that someone else is Messiah. That way, that's why we must go after this and get as much of this as possible in our life. That is what we need. Without it, we will find ourselves in never-ending turmoil. Meekness calms the passions that will otherwise be destructive both inside and out. Thomas Watson says, by nature, the heart is like a troubled sea, casting forth the foam of anger and wrath. Now, meekness calms the passion. It sits on a moderator, as a moderator. It sits as a moderator in the soul, quietly giving check to its distemper motions. And if that's what meekness is, I want to get as much as possible, as I possibly can, of this into the heart of mine. If it's going to sit as a moderator and quiets the soul, giving check to its motions, then that's what I want to grab all as much of meekness as possibly can. I take the dream of my life, the hope of my life, and I say, because you are master, I put all this under you. This is what a Christian does. Messiah calls me to put all my hopes, dreams, and plans under his missions. That's what meekness does. It submits to Yahweh. And Yeshua says that people who do this are blessed. The meek place all things in Elohim's hand and find to their surprise that Elohim places all things back into their hands. That's why he says, the meek shall inherit the earth. You know, and it was placed in man's hands at the very beginning, but man from sin gave it up. But here he is, he's calling us back to that to that meek place that all things in Elohim's hand, and find to their surprise that he gives it all back to us. The word comes to us with great power. The question is, how do you receive the word? How do I receive it week by week? As I try to sit under it, do I receive it with meekness? Or is it actually doing the work in the deep place of my soul? Or like the unbroken horse, am I actually pushing it away? How are we receiving it? Tonight, how are we receiving it? Are we letting it do what it needs to do? Or are we like that wild horse? Are we not used to that hand yet? Meekness is submitting to God's word. And at James 1:21 again, it says, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. The evidence that a person really submits to Elohim is that they do and believe what Yeshua says. The evidence that a person really submits to Elohim is that they do and believe what Yeshua says. In Matthew 7:21, not everyone that saith unto me, Master, Master, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Verse 22, many will say to me in that day, Master, Master, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? They're doing some powerful things. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Verse 24, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. In verse 25, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Remember, that's the evidence of a person who really submits to Elohim, is that they do what Yeshua says. A church where the Bible is taught clearly and value highly. I thought this is a powerful statement right here. A church where the Bible is taught clearly and value highly is a wonderful place to be. Amen? Wonderful. Because our lives are nourished by the word. But a church where the Bible is taught clearly is also a dangerous place to be, because all of us are responsible for what we hear. Nobody more so than the one who speaks, because we are accountable for what we say, and we're going to be judged for everything we say. To think that when you get up here is, you know, oh, man, I want to preach. Let me tell you, it gets a little scary sometimes, get a little nervous. Your heart rate start beating. But here what comes about that when you see that, when you say a church where the Bible is taught clearly and valued highly, and then, you know, the dangerous because you're responsible. You say the self-willed person comes to the Bible, he takes the Bible, and they think like this. Well, this is what God says, but of course I got the right to disagree. That's good, that free will that you was just talking about says, you got the right to disagree. He gives man his own free will. This may be what God says, but I got my own thought on what it means. Just because the Bible says it don't mean I have to do it. I have my own life, and it's my right to choose. That's scary, though. This may be what God says, but right now, as is not what this is not what I want. Or even worse than that. This is what I want, so it must be what Elohim said, and I'm going to do it anyway. Wow. Must be what Elohim said, but I'm going to do it anyway. Meekness is the ability to flex according to the shaping influence of Elohim's word. You become like soft wax so that Elohim's word may make an imprint on your life. You become as soft wax. Think about that. So that Elohim's word may make an imprint on your life. Meekness is submitting to God's will. Submitting to his will, not your will, submitting to his will. There are times in the life of every believer when Elohim puts you in a place you would not choose to be. It may come through difficult circumstances at work, in the family, difficulties in church, or regards to your health. It may be times where he puts you in those places. When Elohim brings you to a place you would not choose, unbelief rises up from the flesh that always resists Elohim. Unbelief rises up from the flesh that always resists Elohim. What does meekness look like when Elohim puts you in a place that you would not have chosen for yourself? What does meekness look like in that place that you would not have chosen to put yourself? You would not have chosen for yourself. Let's look at it. Matthew 26, 36 through 39. Matthew 26, 36 through 39. Then cometh Yeshua with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and said unto his disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and begin to be sorrowful and very heavy. Just think about that. Put that picture in your mind. Then said he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will. Remember, meekness is submitting to God's will. He puts you in places sometimes you don't want to be. But what are we going to do about that? Are we going to be meek about those situations, about those places? Or are we going to let turmoil and chaos build up? That's meekness. Yeshua submitting himself to the will of the Father at an unimaginable cost. And this is what Yeshua is calling us to do. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Have you become used to the hand of Elohim upon your life? Or are you like the wild donkey, kicking against the call and the claim of Yeshua Messiah? At war with yourself, and all the while your conflict is spilling over into the lives of other people. And look, this will test you. This was brought out Sunday. We started this teaching Sunday. Wednesday, it tested me. And it wasn't even, you know, you got somebody fishing, and our guys the at work, you know, they go fishing in the evening time. So they go take the boat and they go fishing, and well, he get a phone call, about one of the operators that was fishing from a little, from one of the guys. I'm not saying his name, but he's from down here. Not none of them in our church. I know our guys wouldn't do that. But anyway, this guy thinks he owns the water. So he's in binoculars and he, you know, seeing the name of the boat. Then he comes up to him and the guy wasn't even fishing. He was just scouting for that later on that evening. So he was just strolling along one of the operators was just strolling along the marsh. And before you know it, he says, hey, well, he comes up to him and asks him his name and all that. Then so the operator leaves. Well, he calls the foreman on him, said that he should be working instead of fishing. Because that was his spot he was going to next. So anyway, I'm in the office, just so happened to be in there. Then when the whole thing went down, I was like, oh, man, I can't. I'm going to text him. I'm going to shoot him a thing there on Facebook. I'm about to tell him something because I know the person. And then here comes meekness instantly. That's not meekness. That's not being meek. That's not being meek because here I am in a room with four of the five other guys. And they know what my position is in the church. They know what I stand for. And they're all looking at me like, whoa, is he just really saying this? But that instantly, that quick, the meekness popped up in my head. And like, you got to, don't let that chaos. That's that chaos and turmoil that wants to be spilling out. That's the kind of stuff you got to watch for. That's the kind of stuff we have to watch for. Because it'll come out and it'll spill over into the person that's sitting in the area with you. But that quick, I wanted to just tell him something. I wanted to, oh, I'm going to call him. I can't wait to see him. It's just a big old thing. But just hearing that message, hearing these messages, it'll, if you let it, the word will do what it wants to do in your life. If you submit to his will. So it does work. I tested it already this past week. It does work. Trust me. Meekness is submitting to each other as Elohim people. Meekness is submitting to each other as Elohim people. And listen, for you not to be part of a church, you can't do this. You can't be submitting to each other as Elohim people if you're not part of a church. Ephesians 5:14. Wherefore he said, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Messiah shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Verse 17, wherefore be ye not wise, but understanding what the will of the master is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to Yahweh. Verse 20 and 21, giving thanks always for all things unto Elohim, and the Father, in the name of our Master Yeshua Messiah, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of Elohim. Submitting yourselves one to another. Paul is describing what it looks like when Elohim's people are filled with the Holy Spirit. They sing to each other in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. They're always giving thanks. There's one more evidence of people being filled with the Holy Spirit. They submit to one another. They submit to one another. If the pattern of your life is to walk away every time a person upsets you, you cannot learn meekness. So if you listen again, if the pattern of your life is to walk away every time a person upsets you, you cannot learn meekness. Can't run from it. Don't run from it. Meekness can only happen when you are upset and you submit yourself to Elohim in the middle of it. Meekness can only happen when you are upset and you submit yourself to Elohim in the middle of it. Wow. There is an important distinction to be made between submission to Elohim's word Submission to Elohim's will and submission to Elohim's people. Submission to Elohim's word and submission to Elohim's will are unconditional. But our submission to one another is not. The normal pattern of healthy Christian relationship is that we submit to one another in the body of Christ. Meekness is formed out of the difficulty of doing this. Meekness is formed out of the difficulty of doing this. The normal pattern of healthy relationship, Christian relationships, is that we submit to one another in the body of Christ. Philippians 2, 1 through 4. If there be therefore any consolation in Messiah, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Let each esteem other better than themselves. Listen to what they're saying. Don't be so quick to react to the things they say. Esteem others better than yourself. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. When you are opposed, in Numbers 12:3, now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. The man Moses was very meek above all men which were upon the face of the earth. How would you act when you are opposed? Exodus chapter 32, verse 30 through 32. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses said unto the people, ye have sinned a great sin, and now I will go up unto Yahweh peradventure, and I will make an atonement for your sin. And Moses returned unto Yahweh and said, oh, this people have sinned a great sin and have made them mighty ones of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, listen to his meekness, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. Just think about it. What if it was you that you leading somebody out and all they do is complain. There was miracle after miracle that they seen, the hand of God upon their lives. But yet all they did was complain. But yet look what Moses said. And if not, blot me. What would arise up in you? What would have been our reaction? I'm done. Y'all go y'all way, I'm going to go my way. But he led them all the way to the through the Red Sea and all that, and they was just always complaining about what should have left us back in Egypt. You brought us out here to die? Blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. Meekness. When you are provoked, the meekness of David, 2 Samuel 16, just a couple verses. Let's read about what happened right here in 2 Samuel 16. Let's see. Let's start with verse three. And the king said, and where is thy master's son? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he's talking about King David. Well, let's go to verse 1. And when David was a little past the top of the hill, behold, Ziba, the servant of Mephibosheth, met him with a couple of donkeys saddled, and upon them 200 loaves of bread, and 100 bunches of raisins, and 100 of summer fruits, and a bottle of wine. And the king said unto Ziba, what meanest thou by these? And Ziba said, the donkeys be for the king's household to ride on, and the bread and summer fruit for the young men to eat, and the wine that such as be faint in the wilderness may drink. And the king said, and where is thy master's son? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he abided at Jerusalem. For he said, today shall the house of Israel restore me the kingdom of my father. Then said the king of Ziba, behold, thine are all that pertain unto And Ziba said, I humbly beseech thee that I may find grace in the sight, my sovereign, in thy sight, my sovereign, O king. And when King David came to Bahurim, behold, thence come out a man of the family of the house of Saul. Listen, what are you going to do when you are provoked? How are we going to handle a situation? It came out of a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. He came forth and cursed still as he came. So, okay, here he's coming and he's steady cursing him, steady cursing him. And he cast stones at David and at all the servants of the king, David. And all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. And thus said Shimei, when he cursed, come out, thou bloody man, and thou man of Belial. Yahweh had returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast reigned. And Yahweh had delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom, thy son. And behold, thou art taking in thy mischief, because thou art a bloody man. He's letting them have it. He's provoking them to anger, no doubt. Then said Abishiah, the son of Zeruiah, unto the king, why should this dead dog curse my sovereign king? Let me go over, I pray thee, and take off his head. What would have been your response? Me as King David, I would do as thy said. Go take off his head. I mean, come on, you. Here I am. You cursing me in front of. I'm a king, first of all. That's just totally disrespect. But watch what David does. And the king said, "What have I to do with you, ye sons of Zeruiah? So let him curse." Because Yahweh has said unto him, curse David. Who shall then say, wherefore hast thou done so? And David said to Abishai and to all his servants, behold, my son, which came forth of my bowels, seeketh my life. How much more now may this Benjamite do it? Let him alone, let him curse. For Yahweh had bidden him meekness. Let him curse. And, you know, you can read on. It says that as they was traveling, he's on top of the hilltop. And not only is he cursing, now he's throwing stones at him. And he's taking dust and throwing it at him. What we would do? Huh? What kind of meekness we would have if we was provoked to that? Seeing how important this meekness is and how we need to grab as much of this as possible and apply it to our lives. So important. So important. I want all this and then some. I don't want that anger and that turmoil to build up and spill out. I don't want that. When you are disappointed, the meekness of Paul, 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 16, I charge thee therefore before Elohim and the Master Yeshua, Messiah, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Verse 4. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions to the work of any evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. They're going to turn away from the truth. Listen, that ain't nothing. I mean, that's nothing more discouraging to a preacher than being disappointed than them turning away from the truth. Then you pouring your heart and your soul into this, and they're turning away from it. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of any evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Hence there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Master, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them that also that love his appearing. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto thee, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. He had people walk out on him, people who was with him he was preaching to. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for this ministry. And Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Master rewarded him according to his work. Verse 15 and 16, listen to the meekness of Paul. Of whom be thou where also, for he had greatly withstood our words. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray Yahweh that it may not be laid to their charge. Wow. I prayed Yahweh that it may not be laid to their charge. You see the meekness? And when you are injured, the meekness of Yeshua. 1 Peter 2:21-24. When you are injured, think about this, the meekness of Yeshua. 1 Peter 2:21-24. For even here unto were ye called, because Messiah also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Follow his steps. He suffered for us, leaving us an example. Verse 23, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. Who, when he was reviled, when he was suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. But you seen that in verse 23? The meekness, when he was reviled, reviled not again. In Luke 23:34, being nailed to that cross. You know, he told Pilate, he said he could have called a legion of angels. I can call a legion. And not only a legion, I can call just one angel. Because there's a story in the Bible that one angel killed thousands. I can call one. He said in Luke 23:34, then said Yeshua, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. So listen, when you're doing what the scripture tells you to do, when you're living it out and people saying stuff, just, Father, forgive them. They know not what they are saying. They know not what they're doing. In the last two slides, meekness is seen in bearing wounds, forgiving of injuries, and returning good for evil. Meekness is seen in bearing wounds, forgiving of injuries, and returning good for evil. And Matthew Henry says, after laying out what meekness involves, he says, if this is Christianity, God help us. Because if we are all called Christians, we name the name of the meek and lowly Yeshua. But how few are actuated by the Spirit or conformed by Christ's example? How few are actually living out that example that we just read about? By being reviled, you revile not. So as you can see, how meekness is so important. So important that we grab all of it and apply it. Be a not just a hearer, but be the doer of it. And I thank him. I thank him for the example that he gave. And I thank him for his word. Many, many occasions, see many, many things that people went through and they showed meekness. And, you know, I want to live my life according to his word. I want to do it. As hard as it may be, it's possible because they did it. But you have to be a doer of it, not just a hearer. If they can do it, we can do it. And, you know, we're not going to do it. You're going to slip. But what you do, you go back to poor in spirit. You go back to that first ring. So important that we go back. Realize that we can go back, that we have the ability to go back, that his grace is right there. He's waiting for us by that door. And we just go back and mourn, realize, Lord, I'm sorry for my sins. Then grab hold of that meekness again and help me to be better. You're going to learn from it. I promise you, you're going to learn from it. And as you learn from it, the more you grow in it, the easier it's going to get. Before you know it, you're swinging that momentum and it's just carrying you. It's going to be just flowing. Amen? So good to us. I thank y'all. Thank y'all tonight for coming out. Be ready in the mornings because meekness, Pastor said Sunday would have been our last Sunday, but I can promise you it's not. And he said it the other night at Bible study, and I heard it with my own ears, and I confirmed it. And I'm like, there ain't no way you're going to be in the meekness Sunday. Because there's so much more. And he's so good to us, amen? So good to us. Hallelujah. I thank y'all. Y'all dismiss in the name of Jesus.